Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. So I'm just looking at the sound bites we have from Mitt Romney and the things he told the media and all. Pat Toomey will be with us shortly. Going to ask him about this. They're a rebuke of others. It's the religious part. He sent a note to people like Senator Toomey. And that's how it reads to me, explaining to them why he's voting this way and citing God. Then he cites his children. I'll be able to tell my children and grandchildren I did the right thing. Well, that means that these others are doing the wrong thing. You know, why not make the argument where you don't impugn others and say, look, here's what the president did. To me, it rises to the level of being an impeachable offense for this reason. Rather than making it, here's what he's kind of doing. We all know that this was impeachable, should be thrown out of office, but the rest of you don't have the courage or don't really believe in God and the oath to vote that way. Isn't that what he's saying? As opposed to saying, I see it this way. It rises to the level of being impeachable for the following reasons. Leave the religion out. Stop bringing your kids into it. Stop making this a profile in courage and say it meets the policy thing. It meets the Constitution. It meets the criteria for the following reason. And maybe go through several reasons why you think it meets that. But I don't think Mitt Romney could argue that. Most people don't think it's a close call. They may not like it. They may think politically voters may not like it. But a lot of people, I think significant numbers, do not think it's a close call even with the Constitution and the criteria from the Constitution. That means you could say it's inappropriate. You wouldn't do it if you were president. But it doesn't rise to the level. There's another formula there to deal with this, particularly with another election right there. Let's go to Senator Pat Toomey. And Senator, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Welcome back, Senator. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Dom. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was just giving my view that if Mitt Romney had said what I just said, that this rises to the level in his view of the Constitution to remove the president for the following reasons. They could have been extensive. I think people would accept that and say, hey, we have a difference of opinion. That's fine. Our listeners are upset when you make it. He's keeping his oath and maybe the rest of you are not. Several commentators are putting that out there on the other 99 senators or however many voted not to convict.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I feel very strongly that I absolutely kept my oath. I think I did exactly what the Constitution requires. I think Mitch McConnell got it exactly right. Part of the reason the Senate was created was to put a damper on the risk of partisan extremism sweeping the House. I think that's exactly what happened here. You know, one of the things I think at the end of the day, I think the reason most people don't think the president should have been removed from office is, think of ultimately how inconsequential these charges were. So the House alleges that the president withheld some money. It was for a period of weeks. The money didn't need to be spent. It ended up going to the Ukrainians in plenty of time for them to use it without them ever conducting any investigation or announcing any such thing. They complain about the meeting that the president withheld from the president of Ukraine. What happened? The president met with the president of Ukraine in New York instead of in Washington. I mean, really? We're going to remove a president? A duly elected president is going to be removed from office, and we're going to tell the American people, you do not have the choice of whether to vote for him for reelection because we're going to forbid him from running again. We're going to do that over these circumstances? I look at the Constitution. It says that a president can be removed from office for bribery, treason, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. It's got to be something of real significance to undo a past election, to massively interfere with the upcoming election and to do something that we have never once done in the history of the country. So I don't think it came close when you put it in that appropriate constitutional context.
Yeah, I like what you said, too. And McConnell yesterday, I was watching it, Senator, in real time. Sometimes it's maddening, and it probably is maddening to people like you who are a detail guy, get things done guy, that it takes forever. It's, you know, oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know how Pat Toomey sits there when some of the bloviating goes on. But there is a calmness. What's that old thing about the saucer cooling the milk or whatever, the founding fathers?
The saucer, the tea, right?
Yeah, the tea. Yeah. And it is that. And then it's good to have this contrast a bit that the House of Representatives might be more rambunctious and moving on it. And then it slows down and we look at this whole thing. That is something that really has served us well. We don't want the Senate to be doing the same kinds of rushing in here with this stuff.
Just think about it. I mean, can you imagine? Our Democratic colleagues, privately, they must be very, very grateful that Republicans voted against this. Can you imagine if the Senate actually voted to remove the president? And what, yesterday we sent marshals over to the White House, took the president into custody, removed him from the White House, swore in Mike Pence. Can you imagine how people across America would react?
There'd be violence, there'd be chaos,
there'd be disorder, because people would understand that this is really it would feel like a coup to people. It would feel like completely overthrowing a democratically elected president. And it would be so bad for our country. It would be, as Lamar Alexander put it, throwing gasoline on the culture wars fires. I mean, what a disastrous outcome that would have been. And fortunately, most senators understood that there's no possible justification under these circumstances for that sort of thing.
We're talking to Senator Pat Toomey and his monthly visit here. At least I think it is, because you've been on with us and things change. Senator, are you surprised that no Democrat, particularly after the State of the Union, I was thinking the Senator from Arizona, Sinema, sometime Manchin, I wasn't feeling it. And then I thought Jones in Alabama, you know, politics plays in this on a political sense. He's maintaining a lot of people of conscience in Alabama. My thought is, look, he must think he's going to lose in Alabama anyhow. He doesn't want to have this vote on his record for future office, maybe. And I give him his conscience, too, whatever he feels. But were you surprised that not one? It must have been unbelievable pressure not to have one to acquit.
Yeah, I am surprised, to be honest. Especially Article 2, right? The second of the two articles of impeachment. Where it's just so obvious what happened here. The House was unwilling to pursue the legal options available to them to compel the president to provide documents to witnesses, which, by the way, this administration has fought other requests for information from Congress, as every president does. And when they've gone to court, sometimes they've lost. And when they've lost, they've turned over the documents. That's what has happened. And that is what happens with most administrations. This Democratic majority in the House couldn't be bothered waiting, had to do this because it was politically driven to be done by Christmas, and weren't going to go through this process. So the president invoked his constitutional rights, his defense of the office of the president, and by virtue of the fact that he was even making that defense, they said that's impeachable. Now, that's ridiculous. So I was disappointed that not a single Democrat stood up for this principle that every future president is also going to want to invoke, right? The ability to have some conversations with advisors that are privileged, that don't go over to Congress. That's a contested issue. We're going to fight over it. Sometimes in some contexts, in some circumstances, presidents will be able to invoke executive privilege. Other times they shouldn't. But you don't impeach a president for invoking this constitutional provision that every president since the 1970s has invoked.
No, it is a great question. It has to be removed from partisanship, because there are legitimate things for every president around this. So you're in the chamber, State of the Union. Were you surprised at Nancy Pelosi's antic this time? The other one might have helped her a little bit. This one, I think, has backfired.
Oh, tearing up the speech?
Yes.
To me, it looked childish and petty. That's how it looked to me. I got to believe that's the way most people see it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, what kind of response are you getting? Pennsylvania, the ultimate real bellwether, swing state here. I'm looking at a piece, Senator, at Philly.com today, and even they concede people are not talking about impeachment much here in Pennsylvania prior to this, during to this, and the aftermath. But you have drawn the activists to have a bead on you, you know, so this is like their hobby.
Oh, yeah.
To have Tuesdays with Toomey, you set them off like, yes, you set Jane, yes, Fonda off for some reason.
Yeah, I know it. It's the Tuesdays with Toomey and the, yeah, Jane Fonda cabal. Yeah, you know, there's a category of folks who they're angry. You know, they want Donald Trump removed from office. They want him removed from office the day he was sworn in. By the
right.
way, many of them. You know, I thought in the closing arguments, one of the interesting elements that the president's defense attorneys presented were all the members of Congress calling for the president's impeachment going back literally years. So they've been after this for a long time. It's a shame. I think there's a radical element within the Democratic Party that drove this. I think Pelosi knew from the beginning that a strictly partisan impeachment was a really bad idea. It was unprecedented. Was very divisive, wouldn't be good politically or substantively, but she was under the control of the radical left wing, and so she had to do it.
Parting area for what's next in the Senate, and I thought this was masterful, that Mitch McConnell, immediately after this, is back on the pipeline of judges. That speaks well.
Well, yes, we can and should continue the really extraordinary success we've had in confirming terrific men and women to the federal bench. But I do hope we can do some legislating as well. I mean, there's a number of policy areas that we ought to be looking at.
Let me ask you, Senator, sorry to interrupt, but let me ask you, too, the prescription drug thing. The president, this is the type of president who deeply wants to make a deal on something like that. Infrastructure is huge. That would take a lot. But the prescription drugs... And the chanting the other night was H.R. 3. What's the objection to H.R. 3? They argue, well, then make the deal. Sign H.R. 3.
Yeah. Well, so I'm not an expert on H.R. 3. That's
okay.
A House bill. It's
right.
Nancy Pelosi's bill. But I can tell you, I know for sure, it has very extensive price controls. It's going to be the government dictating prices. And when the government dictates prices, you get serious distortions, and I worry that you will never have the resources to be investing in the next generation of drugs. I mean, we're living in an era, Dom, where diseases that used to be highly, highly fatal are increasingly becoming diseases that we can cure, we can live with, we can treat, and it's generally because of these tremendous new medicines, whole new categories like biologics. And if the Democrats have their way, they will just dictate prices, and there will not be the investment into these new medicines that we need. So I'm quite sure H.R. 3 is a very badly flawed bill. There are things we can do. I think there are things we could redesign the Medicare Part D prescription drug benefit so that people don't have the catastrophic out-of-pocket costs that can occur now. And that was in a bill that came out of the Senate Finance Committee. I think there's things we can do to bring generic competition into the marketplace faster. That's a guaranteed way to bring prices down dramatically is competition. It works when generics come on market, and we can make some changes that'll facilitate that. So there's definitely some things we can do here. The question is going to be, can we find a sensible compromise that doesn't, you know, stifle innovation by establishing price controls?
Good stuff. Senator, thank you. Thanks very much for joining us, as always.
Thanks for having me, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.